Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
It's like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Anthony Irwin.
Like this guy here. His name is Fagan. Harrison Fagan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin. As always, I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, we are recording this at 5:15 on a Thursday. Perfectly okay time to be in a lounge. Like, I think I'm still drinking water, but still, I think if I was found in a bar right now, nobody could judge me. I think I'm good.
Well, I mean, nobody? Like, I mean, some people might. I'm not going to say nobody. You know, we live in a very judgmental world. There might be people that judge you for that. But yeah, I mean, I think this is a generally societally acceptable time to do a happy hour, especially, you know, if Thursday's the last day that you work that week, you know, you got off work early. Like, I think that's totally fine if you want to have a drink on your way home and then, you know, Uber, you know, the rest of the way.
You could judge me for any number of things. Like, for example, if I was at a bar right now and Jen wasn't here, I would probably have Avery at the bar with me. That you could probably judge.
I believe that would be against the law. So
the police would judge me, and an actual judge would judge me.
Yeah.
But fortunately,
hey, look, all I'm going to say is we don't have to get too deep into this on the show, but there's plenty of reasons to drink right now, so I'm not going to judge anyone.
The Associated Press is sending out NFT offers on migrants floating who we don't know who all survived in that little thing. Like, we just live in dystopia. This is just where we're at right now. This is apparently who we are. AP is like considered a bastion of journalism. One of the last bastions of journalism. And nope. let's get in on this NFT craze, everybody. Let's go. All right.
I've always said, we should sell NFTs of like my worst blogs and stuff like that. like your worst takes on the podcast, we should sell NFTs of too.
Wait.
Like, you know.
NF tweets. We got this. Speaking of, that's going to be the last segment of this episode. And it's going to be a recurring segment because apparently I can't help myself but tweet things.
Did we just accidentally come up with a name for that segment? Are we going to
call
it
NF tweets? Yes. I'm going to get some sounding for that. NF tweets. That's going to be the last segment of this in which I explain a tweet that people did not particularly like, and that happens regularly, so it's going to be a regularly occurring segment. What we are going to do before that, in the two segments before that, we are going to look back on the week that was and then try to set the table for the season that is yet to be, and you know, try to set some realistic expectations for where the Lakers potentially go from here. I don't know if you guys can hear Avery in the background, but she is screaming like a ninny. She got some pipes, man.
I cannot hear it, so you're good, I think.
That's good to know. That is good to know. Let's start, though, with the week that was. And I think you kind of have to go back, obviously, to the trade deadline. The Lakers didn't get anything done, and we knew. This has been something, Harrison, I think you and I have gotten the audience about as prepared for as they could possibly be prepared for anything. And it has been the CYA leaks, right, that were always going to come out about this season. We just figured they would come out after the season. Like, I thought, or at least, you know, after the All-Star weekend. We did not have to wait till the All-Star weekend. We got the first round of leaks about who was upset with who was working in step with whom, who was out there calling whom a liar for saying that they were working in lockstep on all of this. So that was the starting point on this. And I just want to get your response to, like just put me in the room with you as you get this first round of leaks. Like, is it just like, ah, here we go. Like, I'm just bring it on, carpal tunnel.
Yeah. So that was more my reaction on Saturday when I published a blog on, like, LeBron's, like, again, continuing. I thought that I was like, okay, I think I'm picking up on a trend here that I'm not sure a lot of people have highlighted about, like, LeBron's fairly subtle shots at the front office or whatever. Like, when he was talking about, you know,
LeBron,
like,
doesn't do subtle. Huh? LeBron doesn't do subtle.
Well, no, he does not, because I write about this, like, oh, he's praising, you know, Sam Presti out of nowhere, and mm-hmm. he's talking about how Cleveland has three All-Stars and mm-hmm. all this stuff, and I'm like, okay, this is LeBron's way of saying, like, I'm not that happy right now. And then he goes on to do the rest of it, and then we get, like, the news cycle that comes out of that. And so, like, it was right after I published, like, LeBron is continuing his subtle shots at the Lakers front office at All-Star weekend. Right after that, I get a DM from someone that's like, oh, there's going to be, like, some LeBron comments coming that have not come out before. And I'm like, oh, God, I hope it's on Sunday when Jacob's working. And then, you know, like, yeah, it just drops right away that, yeah. You know, almost right after I was done blogging that first one, that from the Athletic story where, you know, everyone who's listening to this podcast knows what LeBron said about, you know, leaving the door open for Cleveland, going to go play with Bronny, whatever. And then, you know, you have the corresponding round of leaks over the next couple days of, like, oh, Clutch is at war with the Lakers. They were pushing them to trade a first round pick. You have Rich Paul going on record saying, no, I did not do that.
Yeah.
You have, you know, Shams saying that he talked to Rob Pelinka and Rich Paul, and, like, there's no bad blood here. So Anthony, you know, everybody just way overread into LeBron's, you know, comments or whatever. Okay. We've cleared all this up. Like, there's no bad blood, and the Lakers have been missing Kendrick Nunn. So, you know, we got some exclusive reporting there that, you know, things are not as bad as they seem, you know?
I thought that was the perfect end to the news cycle. Was like, oh no, you guys thought that was serious? You guys thought we were serious? Really?
Like, you guys took that from that? Whoa, you guys overreact a lot. And look, I will say, we're being tongue-in-cheek here. I do think that there was a collective overreaction. Like, I did not need every single insider's thoughts on LeBron's comments to The Athletic, you know? Like, I didn't need, like, 500 separate articles that were like, here's the, whatever. Like, that's my job to do, so I would appreciate it if everyone would please stay off my turf. You know? It's just, at some point, it became overkill, and I get it. Like, this is a big story. The media is going to cover it. Like, this is, you know, this is how this works. I'm a part of the beast. Like, I'm not blameless in this cycle, and, like, neither of us are. You know, we both do daily, you know, Lakers operations where we have to talk about these things as they're happening, because we talk about what's going on with the team. And during the All-Star break, this has been what's going on with the team, was LeBron recapturing the news cycle as a warning shot to the Lakers about, hey, you know, This is what I can do during the NBA's marquee event. Like, you want to see what I can do during the offseason if you're not doing what I like, you know?
Yeah, I just thought, like, the last one there, and look, this is just how journalism works in 2022. Like, there are certain reporters that certain entities trust more than other reporters, because those reporters that they trust are willing to say things that maybe other reporters who are more journalism forward are not. And I thought, like, I just thought Shams's appearance on the Pat McAfee show was just, it was so amazing. And look, Shams does his job, knows what his job is, and is really good at his job. But, like, if, in case it wasn't obvious enough that somebody, we'll just say somebody, was telling him, hey man, get out there, we need to control this narrative heading into the second half of the season. In case it wasn't obvious enough, he wraps up by saying, you know that clutch player who hasn't been active all year?
Well, no, this is not a mystery where his sourcing was coming from. He said, I spoke to Rich.
Yeah,
Rich wanted this out there. Like, Rich Paul, you know, look, everyone has opinions on Rich Paul, whatever. Like, he is willing to go on the record. Like, you can't say that he is only willing to work through anonymous sources and, like, not put his name to things. Like, he does put his name to things. He did it with Stephen A. Smith earlier in this news cycle. He did it with Shams. Like, when he wants something out there, he's willing to put his name to it because
he has a lot of people willing to put that out there.
Yeah.
Verbatim. and look, like, again, I'm not judging at all. I'm just allowed to laugh at this. You have to laugh at this. Because if you and I didn't laugh at this, Harrison, we would be the most miserable people on the face of the planet. Just flat out.
Yeah, no, I mean, working the nun part in was just elite. It was elite stuff.
Like, if you guys could see the look on my face when I got that.
There's no problem. There's no problems here. And, you know, by the way, Kendrick Nunn hasn't played yet.
It was just perfect. And I thought that was also, like, it also serves its purpose because what neither party here, and whatever end of the spectrum that you fall on, if you want to say, because I saw some people online saying that this wasn't a problem, okay, if that's the end of the spectrum you want to lay on, you can lay on that end of the spectrum. Then I saw people on the other end of the spectrum who were saying that, no.
It's time to trade LeBron.
It's time to trade LeBron. Same guy who authored 15 years ago, it was time to trade Kobe. If you ever know which side to take on history.
Which side are you on, Anthony? Are you team clutch or are you team Lakers? I feel like you got to preface this. Like, are you a clutch plant or a Lakers plant?
I don't even eat plants, man. I can't be a plant. I lay somewhere. I probably, if I had to choose, like, if one is this is not a problem and 10 is, like, trade this guy tomorrow, right? As soon as you can trade this guy. Yeah, so
you're, like, on a scale of, like, Chicken Little to everyone else but Chicken Little in his world.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I am probably, like, a 6 or a 7 on the side of this didn't matter. Like, you can't tell me this didn't matter. And you can't tell me that, like, people within the Lakers organization were not at least a little worried about how this was going to play out. When we got mere hours before actual, literal war broke out, you had a Lakers source saying that it feels like a war is going to break out here. You know? Like, also, never compare shit to war in sports, ever. Don't do that. Like, it's never, ever, ever. Anyway, but I look at it like this. It mattered, and how much it is going to matter is completely dependent upon this upcoming offseason, what they're able to do this upcoming offseason. Because this next offseason, they are going to have a list of priorities that they have to take care of. I don't think I'm jumping out there with a hot take here and saying that a team that has championship aspirations cannot employ Russell Westbrook to the tune of $47 million against your cap. That is not some; those two things are mutually exclusive, in my opinion. And so the Lakers' first priority is probably going to be break that $47 million cap hit into a few smaller cap hits and hope that you can have a few more players on your roster who are better than veteran minimum type players, because every single veteran minimum player is at the end of the day a gamble. Sometimes you hit 21 and you get a Malik Monk or you get a Carmelo Anthony. Sometimes,
or an Avery Bradley, you know. I'm joking. It's
good to know.
A lot of people loop in. They're talking about which minimums. I've seen people loop in, like, Avery Bradley among the minimums that have worked. I'm like, wait, hold on a second. I mean, he's played a lot, but, like,
yeah, that's a stance to take.
Let's not, you know, disparage Melo and Monk like this. Like, Avery Bradley, you know, at best is in his own, like, third category in the middle, where it's like, it's not a failure, like, because he hasn't been horrible, but he also has, like, played way too much, and I guess that's not his fault. But, like, it's not like Avery Bradley is not, you know, I don't have him in the Melo Monk tier on the, like, list of, like, success minimums to disappointment minimums.
I think Avery Bradley has probably been one of the most actively detrimental Lakers on this season.
Yeah, but
like,
that's not
if
like,
you can. But it's not just his fault.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but anyway, so yeah, I think what the Lakers are going to have to do is break up Russell Westbrook's $47 million cap hit, and then they're going to probably have to go out and get more win now help too, right? And that's probably going to, like, unless you're willing to once again gamble on THT becoming a player that he clearly is not right now. The Lakers are probably going to need more help. Like, you can't.
I think there is an argument. This is a whole separate aside or whatever. Yeah, I think that there is an argument that THT can help more if the cap like spreading out that you're doing in the Russell Westbrook trade are for more guys that offer the things that they want THT to give them versus what he's actually good at. So like, if you are able to dump Russell Westbrook for, you know, some guys that provide a little bit more defense, provide a little bit more shooting, things like that, you know, again, I understand
more predictability.
Yeah. And so like when you like, if you're able to flip those guys for that, then as we've seen the last couple weeks when Russ and THT have been staggered more, THT can provide a little bit more of that ball handling and things that you'd be missing by theoretically moving off of Russ. So I don't think that it's crazy.
I'd like to see more THT for the rest of the season. We're going to talk about this later. Like, we're going to talk about this in the expectations moving forward. Like, I would like to see THT in Russ's role. Swap those roles. Like,
I mean, they've sort of started to do that. Like, yeah. I mean, at least in playing THT without Russ, for the most part, they're letting him kind of cook while he's out there.
Right. And then so anyway, like to put a bow on, like, you know, recapping this last week or whatever, I'm in the camp of like, just because LeBron clearly wanted the Russell Westbrook trade, which, by the way, like, we also have to link in there. We have to, I'm going to have to keep saying this till I'm blue in the face, and you're going to have to still keep writing this until your fingers fall off. Rob Pelinka did not have a gun held to his head when he traded for Russell Westbrook. Like, this is something that I have heard directly from all kinds of people around the league. And it's that, like, yeah, Rob had that trade on the table, but once he got the go-ahead and once Russ said that he wanted to be a Laker, Rob was excited to bring Russ in. Like, that was something that he was excited to do.
The kind of retroactive infantilization of Rob Pelinka, where, like, he had no say, you know, in this, like, that's just not accurate. Like, now, did LeBron push for it? Of course.
Yes.
But ultimately, this kind of stuff falls on the GM, because you have to be able to tell your star no if you think that it is an actively detrimental move. So even if he did think that,
he told LeBron no about Jared Dudley. He said no to LeBron about Jared Dudley. Like, he has said no to LeBron before.
Like, I love that you're putting these on the same level of the same level of backbone. It's like he said no to LeBron about bringing back his buddy on a veteran's minimum. Why would he not say no to this, like, trade for a $47 million, you know?
Would the Lakers be better if they had just kept Jared Dudley and not traded for Russell Westbrook?
I'm not willing to say that. No, I'm not.
That's going to be the clip of this show. That's going to be. So I just thought, like, this was, at the end of the day, everybody involved here, because this Lakers season is a failure. Like, no matter how the rest of this year plays out, I don't, like, realistically speaking, given all the scenarios that are the likeliest ones here, this Lakers season has been a failure. And the people involved with this Lakers season, who guided this Lakers season, are not used to being associated with failure. Rob Pelinka, one of the most successful agents that agencies has ever seen, right? Like, he is very good at getting his clients what they want, and his clients tended to be very happy with him as an agent. LeBron James, one of the greatest athletes that this country has ever seen, somebody who is not used to out-and-out failure, because that's what this season has been. You know, Jeannie Buss, since she has taken over, she runs Jim out of town, and the Lakers immediately win a championship. She's used to those hurrahs, right? Kurt Rambis, a little more used to it. But, like...
but yeah, Kurt Rambis has barely experienced failure. It's like, wait a second, Anthony. Like...
but like...
He certainly has been around it, depending on how much blame you want to attribute to him for it, for those like Timberwolves rosters or the Knicks teams or whatever. Yeah. But like, he has certainly been around for it for at times.
And so, but like when I talk about those three entities, Rob, Genie, and LeBron, and even Clutch, right? Like Clutch has had this astronomical rise in power throughout sports to where now they're getting involved in the WNBA too, right? They're involved in the NFL. They're, you know, they are one of the real baseball success too. Stories. Baseball too, yeah. One of the real success stories in American industry. And so you have all these entities who are not used to failure. And what they now have to figure out is, how do I distance myself from this failure? Because I cannot keep taking losses like this without it legitimately affecting the way people think of me. And this was always going to be the likeliest outcome was leak after leak after leak.
You and I have been talking about for months that the leak fest that we get
it's at gonna
the conclusion
be incredible.
Of the season is going to be crazy. And like you said, we didn't even have to wait till the end of the season. And like, again, this is not going to be the end of it. I do think that, you know, yesterday's kind of report that like, oh, you know, there's no bad blood. I do think that that probably signals that for the most part, this is going to be put on the back burner until the off season for everyone to start pointing the fingers again and stuff like that anonymously. So I think if you're a Lakers fan, like I would take that as probably a good sign that at the very least, you know, everybody, it seems to be ready to kind of lock back in and try and make the best of this for at least the remainder of the season, you know, and then figure things out at that point. But again, you know, I'm kind of going back to you talking about like, is this something or is it nothing? I think, you know, look, I'm with most of the reads in that I don't think that this means necessarily like LeBron demanding a trade is imminent or anything like that. Like, he clearly loves life in Los Angeles. You know, he why would he want to go and uproot himself? Be
Space Jam 2 is in
family,
production. Yeah.
Be potentially without his family for, you know, a year or so or whatever while Bronny finishes out high school while he's playing somewhere else and then go to another team with Bronny and stuff. Like, I just don't see that him, like, thinking of that as this is my first option. But I do think that it's sort of like if you're going through, like, a job interview process or something and you go back to your current job and you're like, hey, they offered me this. And, like, are you guys willing to match it? And your current job says no. Like, you're probably not going to stay at that job. You got to be ready to take that other offer if you're going to take that and kind of get people bidding against each other. And I think that is sort of what this is. Like, I think LeBron would be willing to do something like that. Like, I'm not willing to take that off the table because I don't think that you make that threat, you make these hints or whatever, if you're not willing to go there if necessary. I just think
it's not a threat if there's no follow through. Yeah. It's not a threat if there's no follow through. And yeah, I look, at the end of the day, LeBron is looking like we saw it All-Star Weekend. The amount of, and I don't think LeBron will ever be as enamored as Michael. Michael came up at a time where it was a lot more easy to manage a brand than it is right now for LeBron. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, but can LeBron have a career that, you know, inarguably stacks up to Michael's and maybe is more impressive? Like, that's still on the table. That's still right there to be had, depending on how long he sticks around. And so, like, yeah, when he gets frustrated at wasting yet another prime season, of course that's how this that's how this was going to go. Of course he's pissed. Even though, like, how many times, Harrison, have you done something or been responsible for something that backfired, like, and you're angry and you just
I'm very successful, Anthony. I don't know if you know this about me.
Well, all right. I'll say that I will lash out if I do so. Like, if I like stub my toe or something like that, right? And you kick the chair. Kicking the chair doesn't help. It's not productive. It makes your foot hurt even worse.
Is Rob Pelinka the chair in this analogy?
I mean, I guess. No, I think it's Russ. but yeah, I also like, I might be a little too cynical here. I'll cop to that. But like that last, you know, round of leaks of like, oh no, we're ready to be productive. We like, that's also something that these guys have there's a reason behind that too, right? And it's that they don't want to be seen by fans as unwilling to try to make this work as it is, right? Like if LeBron just keeps sulking throughout the rest of the season, Laker fans aren't going to like that. We know what LeBron is capable of playing like when he's really engaged. If Rob, you know, just keeps on leaking about how, like, oh well,
yeah, I was going to say, what does Rob sulking through the rest of the season look like? Like, how do we pick up on that?
If it's like a bunch of leaks of, like, you know, it really was LeBron who was in on DeAndre Jordan, you know, like, but like if like that, those are the things that they cannot do. Like they
LeBron made the current statement jerseys. He was totally responsible for.
You know that, you know, I actually really,
I don't
like
even
the
know
color.
Which ones the statement jerseys are. So if those are good ones, I apologize. I just, it was the only Nike dumb nickname that I could think of off the top of my head.
Rob tweets out from his burners, like, bring back gold jerseys, you know, like banana yellow sucks.
Yeah. LeBron just loves banana yellow, according to league sources.
The banana boat. Like it's,
yeah,
he brought the
it's
banana.
His fault.
So yeah, I just thought like this week has been fascinating. It's been frustrating. I think some of the response and analysis of it. Like I think one of the things that I was thinking about actually today is the difference between, like, what is it about basketball analysis that I think can sometimes drive people away? And it's like when people are being disingenuous. Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
That too. Me too. But like I think like one of the things that really kind of you know, turns people off is somebody who is giving their analysis and they're clearly carrying water for somebody else, right? Like that's something that as soon as you always know what it is when you hear it, right? You know what that
Mike
sounds
Missinelli
like.
Mike Missinelli has been trying to warn us about what this looks like for years.
I was hoping you'd get a shot in there. Good job, Harrison. But like I think the best analysis, like so JJ Redick is somebody who I really enjoy, you know, his content, and his thoughts on Zion were really interesting to me because he, you know, fellow Duke player.
Yeah, I saw one of the Pelicans beat guys point this out. Like JJ Redick is a fellow CAA client,
yes,
fellow Duke alum, uh-huh, and former
reason to hate
who hates the Pelicans,
yeah,
and was still blasting Zion on national TV as a bad teammate. Like that is the most genuine analysis because it's basically going against every single bias he has, and he's still giving you his honest, unfiltered opinion.
Exactly. And I think, you know, sometimes when you hear analysis that it's clear where that is coming from, like that, and I think that was one thing that over the course of this week really kind of showed itself was how much of not just reporting you get from whatever sources that you have, but analysis of the situation. When you aren't being genuine, it's really clear to the people who are listening. And I think a lot of, you know, from a lot of the reaction that I see either to, you know, tweets or clips or whatever that go out there, like people are kind of sick of that. And I thought this week was really a really interesting look into that aspect of this, that like you have analysts who are clutch analysts and you have analysts who have, you know, Lakers management ties and like it never really sounded like those people were actually giving their analysis. They were speaking up for the people who they have attachments to. And that's where, like, you know, for people like us and other people who are a little bit more independent in this, that's where we have the opportunity to offer something else. And I thought that
we're the only honest ones. That's like I've always said.
No,
they're only honest voices in NBA media.
It's well, like I would say it's everybody on this feed, but I have questions about Padilla. Like I have. All right,
please
let's
don't
move.
Impugn the integrity of our senator.
Shit, that's right. I'm going to jail. No, I'm not in California anymore. I can say stuff like that. All right, so let's move on and look ahead to the rest of the season, though, with this behind the Lakers and where our expectations sit for them. And I'm not. I know this is going to sound alarmist, but my expectations are that they don't make even the play-in. Like I think without AD, given the strength of the rest of their schedule, I think it's like, anything, if they make the play-in, I will be pleasantly surprised with how this season, the rest of this season went, because there's a lot of bad habits that the Lakers have to break and not much time to do that.
I'm sorry. You don't think they're going to make the play-in?
That's where I'm setting my expectations.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So like it wouldn't shock me if they made it, but I'm not going to sit. I wouldn't bet on it. I wouldn't bet on them making the
what?
Play-in. Yeah. And I definitely am not betting on them winning in either of those games, either of the necessary games to move
this
into the
This might be one
playoffs.
Of your wildest takes.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, the rest of their season is really difficult. Their schedule is really, really, really difficult.
Yes, but Anthony, they're like, do you
and
know
they
how
don't
bad
have
they would
Anthony
have to
Davis
to miss the play-in entirely? Like, the Blazers just sat their starting center. That's the team right behind them that's 2.5 games back. Like, that you got the Spurs, Pelicans, and Kings are approximately, like, 4.5 to 6-7 games back. Like, it's just, it's unlikely that they're going to get passed by these teams. Like, to end up outside of the top 10 entirely is extremely unlikely. Like, maybe it's possible that one of these teams gets it together and passes them up and knocks them down to 10, but they're not going to fall to 11.
Can we just look at the rest of their season, the games that they're playing here, and you tell me the number of wins that you can count heading into those games.
Oh, this
okay?
is gonna be great radio. You're gonna read.
I know. We'll do 15 games. Okay.
Okay.
Clippers, New Orleans, Dallas, Clippers again, Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, Washington, Phoenix, Toronto, Minnesota, Toronto, Washington.
That's like a lot of winnable games in there.
Without Anthony Davis, with like,
those are winnable games at the very least. Those aren't games I'm expecting. I mean, some of those, obviously, like against the Warriors, that's, you know, you chalk.
No,
that
no,
up
I'm not talking about now, winnable. I'm saying games that heading in, you're expecting the Lakers to win, not win. That's a very different thing.
I mean, there's quite a few still in there.
All right, you could say maybe New Orleans. You could say San Antonio, Houston, Washington.
Yes, definitely Washington.
And that's it. That's 4 or 5 out of the 15 that I named.
Yeah, but so you get, you know, those are the guaranteed wins. And then
the guaranteed
a couple more of the
wins.
Winnable ones. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, all I'm saying is that, like, I'm not going to, like, if they don't make a play-in, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh my God, I can't believe they didn't do that. Because again, they're not going to have Anthony Davis for at least the next like 3 to 4 weeks. Right.
You think but like it's not about how good can they be. It's like, how good can the teams behind them be? You know,
can those teams behind them be better than like below 500 basketball?
They'd have to be significantly better. They're like 5 or 6 games back.
But that's over the course of 25 games.
Like 20-ish games.
24. They have 24 games left.
Okay. So 24 games. I mean, that's not any, like, you're expecting, like, are you expecting?
So your expectations are higher then. So where are your expectations then?
Over the Lakers final, they have 24 games left, you said?
Yeah. Like how do you, like, season outcome?
Oh, as far as, like, what seed they end up with?
No, or like, no, just like for the way that this season plays out, do you think they make a play in and then lose?
Yeah,
they're
going to make the play in. I have no doubt in my mind about
that. Okay. Do they win a play in game?
That's a Harrison Fagan guarantee. Please don't old takes expose this if it doesn't happen.
Uh-huh.
I do feel comfortable with they're going to make the play in. I didn't think that was going out on a ledge as much. But again, you are closer to the Chicken Little, you know, type of guy. That's why this works.
I you know me as set your expectations low and barely clear them.
Yeah,
that's how my career has gone. So you're saying you have them winning, or you have them making a play-in game. Do you have them winning enough to get into the actual playoffs?
Well, so that's the part where it gets really tricky, because, you know, if they end up where they are right now in ninth, so they host, you know, a play-in game in the first one, and then they would have to play on the road against the loser of the 7 and 8. Like, that's not, you know, especially if it's the Clippers or something, that's barely even a road game. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's a that's a path. Like, I could easily see them getting that, especially if AD's back and healthy. And, you know, as long as they haven't sustained any more extra injuries, like, I don't think that it's out of the question, but it is going to be tougher sledding than it would be. You know, I basically, bottom line, I have faith in LeBron in a single elimination type of game just to get into the playoffs and to get off of the narrative of, like, you know, this season was a huge disaster. Lakers missed the playoffs, whatever. Like, I have faith in this team to get up and be able to probably get into those playoff games. Yeah.
So I guess
the them losing in the play-in would not floor me. Like you're saying, like them missing the play-in entirely. Like I can see a path to them losing in the play-in, but I do think that the most likely scenario is still, you know, given, like, as long as AD is back, which again, we don't like know, but if he's not back, then this is a different kind of equation. But if he is back, if he's able to play, like, I do think that they're better than those teams in the play-in range, and they will get through that most likely.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, I just don't see much difference there between where I have them and where you have them. Like,
About seven games, Anthony. That's the difference. About seven games, seven extra wins from the teams behind them. Or however many, the teams behind them would have to be significantly better than the Lakers down the stretch and better than they've been all year to, like, rip off and, you know, make it and completely knock them out of play-in range.
In spirit, though, like, the outcome to that season, I don't see is all that different. Like, in spirit,
I get what you're saying. Like, is this season any more or less of a failure if they, like, make it through the play-in and get to the playoffs versus if they and lose in the first round versus if they just don't make it at all? I mean, technically, no, because, you know, it's like every year they don't win a championship is a wasted year of my life. But, like,
what if I told you?
I really thought that was going to make you more angry than it.
No, like, I knew what you were doing. But, like, what if I told you that, like, what if I told you that THT assumed a larger role and the Lakers went on a run as a result of that versus Russ starts playing better and the Lakers, like, they win the same exact amount of games. It's just that one is propelled by THT and one is propelled by Russ. Which situation there do you feel better about?
Like, which one is more likely or which one? No.
Which one would you, like,
future?
if that was the outcome to this season, which would you look at and say, like, that was a more productive use of the last 24 games of the season?
So I actually can see the argument in both directions for this just because, so I know, I think by the phrasing of the question, I can sense that you're saying the THT thing would be better.
I honestly don't even know. I'm
but
curious.
The Russ thing might make it a little easier to move him this summer in exchange for some help.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I honestly have to go with the Russ thing just because that's, like, problem A. And I have faith that THT, you know, whenever he is put back into kind of that larger role again, we've already started to see it. Like, there will be more positive results than there have been to this point for the most part. And so I would actually think that the Russ scenario is more beneficial for the Lakers. Also, just for the, you know, for the purposes of this season, just the vibes would be much better and the chemistry and all of that stuff, or the dark cloud hanging over this team. If Russ is playing really well, a lot of that drama and that all that kind of stuff goes away to a degree where, like, I don't think that this team is, you know, kind of like down in the dumps because THT hasn't played well, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah. And also, if Russ is playing well in that and he is propelling your team's good play or decent play or whatever, I think the Lakers at that point have a higher ceiling than if they said it's not working with Russ. You get demoted. THT, you step in here. Like, I think if the Lakers want any chance of having a season that even somewhat resembles less than or something better than outright failure, because I think that's the trajectory that the Lakers are on right now, is an outright failure of a season. Now, there's context to it, but still, an outright failure of a season, if things just kind of status quo carries on and they just kind of tread water through these last games, lose in a play-in game or get swept in the first round of the playoffs, like, that's an out-and-out failure. But, like, if you want to avoid that, the way that you do so is trying to get something out of Russ, finding a role that better fits where he is at right now career-wise, getting more out of THT as a result of a slightly smaller Russ role, but still making Russ productive in, like, say, fewer minutes or something like that, and figuring that. Now, fewer minutes for Russ might mean that his back stiffens up, and I guess that's just a risk I'm willing to take. all right, let's go ahead and end this thing out on this new segment, NF Tweets.
where you get a digital copy of Anthony's exclusive to you, you know, of Anthony's explanation for a tweet that he got hate for.
All right. So here's what I want to do. Here's what I want. Here's how I think this works best is I'm going to read the tweet verbatim and I want you to tell me why people are angry about it.
Okay. This is great. Cause I have you muted. So there's no chance I've seen this tweet.
So I'm going to read the tweet. You tell me why people are angry about it. And then I'll explain the tweet after hearing why people are angry about it. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. The dog across the street from me is already upset by this tweet. I don't know if you can hear that, but it is howling right now.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Male guy's here. I get it. Okay.
There's a very real argument to be made. LeBron ruined the dunk contest by never participating. All right, full disclosure on this one. I tested it out in Silver Screen and Roll Slack, and it was not received well, and I trudged right on ahead and tweeted it out anyway.
Yeah, normally when you get that much pushback in your, like, internal quality testing from us, you just don't send it. And I thought, you know, it was brave of you to be like, no, no, no.
I am.
All these people in Slack, they don't have my best interests at heart. I got a banger. Like, you were Kendrick Perkins with the blindfold on, throwing a dart at the board, and you're like, another banger. You did it again, Anthony.
Carry on. So explain to me why people are angry about this one.
I appreciate that I'm your reality translator of a reasonable person's react, like, why people would take exception to this. So I think that for the most part,
you are more reasonable than me. So, like, I mean, yes, that is how this works.
No argument here. You know, I think for the most part, my guess is that the reason people were upset at this is, I mean, number one, you know, you put LeBron and ruined the dunk contest, and, you know, like, and people try to accuse LeBron of ruining a lot of things a lot. So I think that's, like, a sensitive kind of term for his supporters general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you also did the thing that you do where you try to, like, you basically did an unironic Skip Bayless tweet where you're like, here's this thing that LeBron was not involved with at all.
Yeah.
And here's how he ruined it tonight. You know, it was like, it was the most, like, not even galaxy brain, like, Bayless brained I have seen you go unironically. Like, I understand what you are saying and the complete kind of, you know, like,
context. Like, if I was to make not while everybody is already angry about the current slam dunk contest. If I was just to fire that off on a Wednesday.
And him getting, like, unfair criticism this. Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to make the case then for this
tweet. You saw a bunch of hornets buzzing around a hornet's nest. And, like, they're clearly really mad at something right around there. And you're like, let me throw a rock at it. Let me see. let me see what they do.
I love that picture. And then, like, as I'm getting stung, I'm like, why are you angry at me?
Why are you so mad?
All right. So on some of these segments, there are going to be times where I say, like, all right, fine. After hearing that, I'll walk it back and I'll disagree with myself or whatever, or I'll add more context to tweak what it is that I'm saying and whatever. In this case, however, I am not. I'm doubling down, baby. Like, here's my thing.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let you go ahead.
All right. Here's what I get. Like, so
are you serious? I can't tell.
I am somewhat serious. So you look at some of these other similar competitions across sports, right? The home run derby comes to mind to me, where, like, over the years, the best batters have still participated in the home run derby at least once, right? Maybe they don't do it every single year, you know, for a variety of reasons. But for the most part, the vast majority of really, really, really good hitters since the home run derby has come into fruition have participated at least once. Ken Griffey Jr.
Can I give a note?
Yeah.
I really like, you're off to a banner start on comparing it to the whirlwind success that is the home run derby that all kinds of people really care about.
I love
viewership. you know.
Home Run Derby is appointment viewing, isn't it not? Like, it's
maybe
baseball.
For you, I don't.
Baseball in general is like watched less than the NBA or whatever. But
yeah, so again, you know, like, how can we make it more like this thing that is less successful?
No. Decent note. Touche.
I'm just saying, Athlon editor, I'm just giving you a slight note on the take.
In the NBA's own, Saturday competition night, right? The three-point contest is something that the best shooters are still participating in. And it is more successful. It has not just passed up, but lapped the slam dunk contest.
Well,
right?
Also, like, NBA fans just in general, like, are not always mad at the three-point contest outside of, like, a couple outlier years. Like, people usually are not like, that was a horrible three-point contest. You know, like, it was at the very least, you know, like, there's a high floor on it.
Yeah, right. And I think you look at the greatest shooters in the history of basketball, like, they have participated at least once.
Yeah.
Those Steph, Larry, Reggie, Ray, like, all of the best shooters, Clay, all of the best shooters have participated at least once, if not a couple times.
Well,
lethal
shooter hasn't yet, but that's an asterisk. We'll leave that for now.
But he tried.
Yeah.
So, if you look at it now, one of the, you know, very popular disputes to, you know, me saying this about LeBron and the dunk contest is that, like, maybe the best slam dunk contest ever has taken place during LeBron's career after he opted not to do it at any point during his prime. To which I would say, like, yeah, the Lakers won a championship with Jeannie Buss. Like, sometimes talent, like, sometimes.
Man, you are just trying to make everyone mad today. This is. All right, you really have gone full Bayless on this episode.
I have not. No, because I would say that the league happening to find two really, really, really good dunkers who are looking to make a bigger name for themselves is not the same as like it's bad process that gets great results, right? I want to see Ja Morant in this thing, you know, and up until LeBron publicly has said, like, no, I don't want to participate in that. NBA players, really good and really good athletic NBA players, did participate in this. Vince Carter's going to be a Hall of Famer. Kobe did it. Michael did it. Neek did it, right? And so on and so forth throughout those eras. And, you know, LeBron comes along and he has made a very clear impact on the sport in general, right? The player empowerment era came about because LeBron said, wait, we're doing this wrong. And he was right to point that out. Like, that was a really good thing that he did, and the league is better for it. However, on this front, I think him saying, no, I don't want to do that. The upside here is that I win. The downside here is that I lose. I don't want that downside. I don't want to risk.
Makes memes about it for the next, you know, like, yeah.
Right. And so, like, and that has been how every star that you would like to see participate, like, I'm sorry, Ja Morant, like, he should be doing this.
Coward.
He should be in it. He should be doing it.
We should just name guys and I'll just yell coward. And
Anthony Edwards.
Coward.
Austin Reeves.
Coward.
I just want to get that on there because I'm clipping that for future reference.
No, Austin Reeves, snubbed.
So I, after hearing the case that I made for it, right, would you say I was right or wrong to double down on it?
I still think you're ultimately wrong. I understand where you are coming from, but I think that if it wasn't LeBron to figure out that
somebody else might have,
it's kind of bad for my brand if I lose at things when people are, and it's like an individual competition where I cannot blame my teammates or Rob Pelinka. You know, like, can you imagine if he lost in the dunk contest and he's like, well, you know,
Rob,
man,
told me to do that one.
Shout out to Bucks GM John Horst for getting Giannis good props, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
What if he jumped over Rob Pelinka?
No, he just told Rob, hey, I need you to jump up in the air at this
moment. I want you to go film
moment,
me under the basket. And then he has, like, Rich Paul comes from behind and pushes Rob forward, and then LeBron dunks on him.
He would win.
Give him 50. a 12.
Yeah. 50s.
Let us plan your dunk contest, LeBron. We just figured out the solution to this. You and I come up with the funniest internet breaking dunks for LeBron to do on national TV.
Uh-huh. We just figured it out.
Yeah.
So
we just fixed the dunk contest. Okay. LeBron ruined it, but we fixed it.
Skip Bayless. They say, like, this is a specific Skip Bayless take a picture as a cartoon character spot. This is where you need to take this picture, Skip.
Yeah.
Bam.
No, they're just like, hey, Skip, go stand at the restricted circle. MJ wants to come out and give you a hug and thank you for your service to journalism.
Yeah.
But you gotta have a blindfold on. It's no big deal. Yeah. Just.
And for some reason, he wants to jump for this hug. He wants to give you a chest bump. Michael wants to chest bump you. Bam. So,
if I'm ranking this take on like a scale of like Bayless, like, you know, clearly just trying to troll to like
there's actual Mist, thought behind it
to like Mikey Mist earnest stupidity, I'm going more Mikey Mist on this one. Like, you were being genuine, you're just wrong.
Okay, I don't think I'm wrong. I still like, even to this point, this is one of those look, I am stubborn, I am competitive to a fault. This is one of those takes that, like, I legit really, like, feel this way.
But this is, and that's why I respect you. It's like, you genuinely do not go out there trying to troll people. Like, you just are this aggravating without trying. and, you know, this is why, you know, like, I heard a couple people, and like, I think Chris Mannix most prominently, were suggesting, like, let's just get a one-on-one competition. This will get the stars out, because what star doesn't want to be named, you know, the number one-on-one player in the league? And it's like, I hear that argument, but I also...
They don't even want to do that during the draft process.
Well, but also, it's like, and also, you know what stars also don't want to be known as? Like, the guy who got their ankles broken by the number one-on-one player on the league, in the league. Like, I just don't think that stars would come out for that either. I mean, maybe you go to it just to kind of change things up, and maybe we get to see some, like, moves busted out of some guy that, like, we... Because ultimately, the problem with the dunk contest is we just aren't as easily amazed anymore. We've seen kind of most of these like feats of athleticism that I think that we are going to, you know, every so often there's an outlier year or whatever, but I'm not sure that more stars is going to fix the dunk contest. Like, I think the real solution may be to try and do this one-on-one thing. And, you know, even if it's just role players, like, you don't think like Jamal Crawford in his prime would have like went out there for this as like a notable guy. And I think that a one-on-one competition could be really fun. I just don't know that it's necessarily going to draw stars. I think that it will get guys that are looking to make a name for themselves, though.
I think at one point in the league's history, they did that at halftime of games. Like, the best player from one team would meet the other player out on the court. They would play one-on-one during halftime, and then they would go back and do the rest of halftime with their team.
I don't know if this is true, but this is a hilarious image of, like, you know, the antithesis of like the load management now. It's like, okay, yeah, LeBron, like, can you head back out there at halftime and you know, like, go play against MJ in one-on-one? You know, everybody else is gonna take a break, but you guys just go play one-on-one and then come back out to start the next half.
Yeah. I don't know why it didn't stick. I would look at it. I would look at it as like this. My issue with the slam dunk contest, if you're going to have a whole bunch of no names in the slam dunk contest, then get more of them out there, right? Like, it's like minimum contracts. If you're basing your roster around, you know, a few stars and a bunch of minimums, maybe you want more than one wing on your roster in Trevor Ariza. Like, that's probably a good call to take a couple more shots in the dark. And, like, it's weird. Instead of having the same, like, the same four guys go out there and attempt their dunk three different times each, say, all right, we have a field of 12. You have one dunk. You have one attempt. And you get to move on based on that one attempt. There's your first round. After that, you trim it down to four people. You say, you have two attempts, flat out. You have two times that you get up in the air to do this. If you don't, it's over. And that's it. And if you don't get two good dunks off of those last four guys, if you get two people who come closest to moving on or getting to a final, you say, all right, those two guys, now you're playing one-on-one. We know you can't dunk and you can't get to that 50 number. You guys are now playing one-on-one against each other. Let's let that thing go like that. I just fixed it.
Yeah, I mean, I think another, solution that we could go to is like, that could maybe make everyone in the entire world happy, that I was just thinking about is like, okay, media gets locker room access back, but players get to call the one reporter that like reports something they don't like out to midcourt, and they have to try and guard them during this like dunk contest. And then that way you're dunking on someone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I
think give you the Dunked On podcast a whole new like lease on life,
you would get stars back. They would participate on this.
LeBron's like, Plaschke, midcourt, now, let's go.
I wonder what star out there has a reporter that they hate more than any other star hates a reporter. We're not going to go into this on the air because I don't
want... Oh, it's definitely Kyrie. It's like, there's no close second, like, in terms of which guy you know for sure has a reporter that they hate. Like,
yeah. Kyrie's just in this every single year.
Yeah.
Kyrie's with different
like
reporters.
Retired. He's still showing up. He's like, all right, Bobby Marks, bring it on out. Let's go.
He actually looks like... I'm blanking on Uncle... Good Lord, I can't believe...
You can't get credentialed for the All-Star game without consent, signing a consent form that you agree to be pulled out in your current work clothes to midcourt. Like,
I would not wear work clothes to that event. I don't even care. I'm showing up in basketball shoes and shorts.
Showing up in like full sweatsuit. He's like,
oh my God.
You know?
LeBron during the Miami era going up against Woj back then would have been appointment viewing.
It's like MJ versus LeBron. Like, it's... We just fixed the dunk contest. Here we go.
We did. We just... Adam Silver, get at us. All right, that's going to do it here.
Yeah, we got all kinds of ideas. The league needs to hire us. You know, I'm not certain that they're all good ideas, but we have ideas.
We have ideas, yeah. We will shoot. We don't know how often the ball's going to go in. That's going to do it for this week's episode of the Lakers Lounge. Quick reminder, we have the Hook tomorrow with Aaron. We have a lowdown that I'm recording tonight. And then we are into the weekend. Get your 5-star reviews in with a question so that I can start every Tuesday Spaces show on that topic and on those topics. I don't even care how many questions you guys ask. Aaron and I or whoever, I and whoever will answer those questions to start those spaces and then go wherever the conversation takes us after that. So get those in the form of a 5-star review. And until next week, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Harrison Fagan. We'll talk to you next.